Hey, everybody. What's up? It's Hal from Tights and Fights. If you're listening to the show right now, probably means you're enjoying it. Why not tell the world with a 5-star review and rating on iTunes? It helps new people find the show. You're part of the Nation of Conversation, so wear your colors with pride and hit those fives.
Tights and Fights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal and there's Danielle, and this guy Mike Eagle is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights
Wrestling Podcast. Wrestling Podcast. Tights and Fights.
I don't know that one either.
I don't either.
That's the pre-roll for every show where they have the fireworks over WrestleMania.
Deep cut.
Welcome to Tights of... I know it was terrible. Mike is looking at me.
No. I was looking at you in admiration.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's all.
You're so sweet.
I am.
That now admiration forever.
That's
yeah,
right.
That now and forever. That is our friendship.
The Rock, Stone Cold, and Ultimate Warrior.
Kane with some kids.
You're right. Yeah. Ultimate Warrior, the day before his heart attack.
And only then.
Right.
Akeem, but pixelated. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm your Podlympian hero, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Queen of Fwen Style, Danielle Radford.
Hello!
That's good.
That is good. I like it. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Get ready for a callback. It's already happening.
Oh, no!
And the man with strong style,
hey,
Mike Eagle.
All right. I like that.
Hey.
Then, now, and forever.
Hey.
Looking sharp.
Dapper.
Coming up on this week's show, throw out the rules, let's get extreme. Seventh time's the charm, find the faces, but let's start with Samoa Joe, who came out on top in the fatal five-way match and became the new number one contender for the Universal Championship. I think this is Raw's strategy for all their pay-per-views. Have the lowest possible expectations.
Yeah.
So then if like a couple matches are decent and some suck and you have like one or two real good ones, then it seems like a huge victory.
Right. Mm.
And I thought this main event was super solid. I love the beginning with Roman Reigns just watching everybody tear each other apart. Like, I think the heel tendencies are working their way in there. But it was kind of hard to call, too, because you could see a reason why everybody but Bray Wyatt would
yes,
win.
Yes, yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah.
It was exciting to see Samoa Joe win, which, of course, means that he faces Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire.
I'm so fucking excited.
How do you feel? Yeah, you're happy? Do you?
Yes, this is exactly where Joe needs to be.
Okay, so let's live in the moment right now. He's in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
You're excited.
Yes.
I'm excited. Mike is... not excited at all.
Wait, no. It's not true. I am excited. I just see how, like, God, can it be any more obvious that they make these decisions all at the last goddamn minute? Like, the yeah. moment where they decide they're going to put Joe over, then they start doing all the shit they should have been doing since
Before.
He got there.
Yep.
In 2 weeks, they've heated him up. And they've spent 3 months 50-50 in him. You know what I mean?
I don't think he came into it weak. He certainly didn't come in as strong as he should have been.
Right, because imagine they had done this when he got there.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, he should have been on a roll and been due in the main event.
Exactly.
It's always interesting to watch, like, a heel overcome hurdles. They do have that sometimes where it's like, I've done everything you want. What else do I need to do? And then they win the fatal five-way. He's still got cheers.
Mm-hmm.
People still love him.
Joe's the best,
Joe
man.
Joe is so good.
Joe is
so
just
great.
The best. The combination of athletic and, you know, all the technique in wrestling,
yep.
and then just being hella believable.
Yeah.
That's all we want is for somebody to look believable.
But the whole match, I thought, was so well done for the kind. Those matches are so clunky.
Yes.
You can watch how they're broken up into acts in terms of who's in the ring, and now everybody's outside the ring, and it had a little bit of that where you knew, all right, if three of them just knock each other out, then the other two are going to do their high spot next with Seth Rollins doing the frog splash to Bray Wyatt, who's like a tackling dummy in
oh
this
my
match.
God. Once again, man, Finn looked great.
Finn looked so good.
Looked fantastic.
Really excited about how they have booked him and his positioning and the fact that he, even though he's a smaller guy, they book him like he's 10 feet fucking tall.
Yep. Yeah.
I think they have a strong chance. They're really close to actually getting somebody really hella over. Mm. So let's see how that goes.
But let's look at what happened the next night when he met face to face with the advocate for Brock Lesnar. And what I want to focus on, first of all, mic work, great by Heyman. Mm-hmm. Like everybody should study in the business how he does a promo because he puts his opponent over,
yep.
then puts his guy over more so that you're excited for the match. But the really interesting stuff happened when they dropped the mics and they got in really close. We're going to play it for you.
Your client chose not to score. That's very disappointing to me. It's very disappointing to me. So I want to tell you something face to face. Man to man.
I'm just a bad guy.
I understand that, and this is just between me and you. Something very bad is going to happen to you right now.
Joe, you're crowded.
Listen. I'm going to wrap my arm around your throat, and you're going to feel it tight. Understand? So, and then your vision's going to get hazy until it goes dark. Take this message to Brock Lesnar that this was for him. And I want you to describe to him in excruciating detail, like only you can, Paulie, what Brock Lesnar's future holds.
I love wrestling.
It's like feeding a snake, man. Yeah.
Can you remember a better TV segment than that to build up in a match in the last 15 years?
That's so cool.
I'll give you 15 years. I'll even go into Punk's pipe bomb. I think this is better than that.
It's a hot take.
Do you agree?
It's a hot take.
It's a hot take.
Hal's hot take.
Because I'm fired up for the match.
That's not lukewarm.
So good. It's so good. Like, it's... The fact that it all happens off mic,
yeah.
So only you at home know what's going on. Mm-hmm. The crowd's going nuts. And then it builds to a huge pop when he throws the Coquina clutch on him.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant storytelling.
And it sounds, especially when they push in close with the camera like that,
shit sounds
like a fucking nightmare.
Yes.
Like, you know, all you can do is feel the fear
yep.
from Paul seeping into your body. As you're yep. like, oh, we're all about to die now. Okay.
Something bad is about to happen to you. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, Braun Strowman's a scary monster in that he's always super intense. Joe is scary in that he's fucking calm as shit, like a contract killer. Like, it's a completely different kind of nightmare. I love it.
And he's also, you know, he's obviously very, like, intelligent, and he's, like, a smart dude.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, he's that dominant, and he's fucking smart. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
So let's talk about Bray Wyatt for just a brief second, okay? So he went from being the defending champion at WrestleMania to now being a punching bag for Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. And I can't see him coming back to the title picture. Do you think that character is going to fade away? Or do you think he's just going to always lurk there? Because he's got such charisma. He's a decent worker. If he'd had a run with the title, we might have seen what could have developed.
Yeah.
But if, again, Mike, to your point, it feels like it was a last-minute decision to split him up and throw him over on Raw. Maybe he'll be more successful.
And, to take a character with such potential, such skill on the microphone, which is a real rarity these days, to have somebody really able to get over like that. I'm at a place where I can just never understand how the idea is to constantly sacrifice him to other people.
It's that thing where, like, you take a risk and you want to see people play in that risk and you want to see that risk pay off. So when you see someone who has taken such a risk with this character and managed to get it over and you see it not working as a creator, it just makes me fucking sad.
Right.
And it's really put me in this place now, too, where he uses these big flowery words in his promos, but now as soon as he opens his mouth, I tune out because none of it makes a difference if you're going to lose all the time.
How much of this, though, is us being smart fans? Because let's take the Bruce Pritchard view for a second,
okay.
right? Guy's on TV every week. Guy gets mic time every week. Guy's in quasi-main event or main event matches every week. Guy's a world title holder.
Oh, I've got an answer for you.
Go ahead.
You know who else does all of that?
Please.
Dolph Ziggler.
Fair enough. Moving on.
Thank you.
Ironically, let's get back to winners from Sunday. Dummies is now 7-time Intercontinental Champion in a DQ match where if Dean Ambrose gets disqualified, he loses. So it was a little bit interesting. The psychology of the match was Miz trying to get Dean Ambrose disqualified, but ultimately beats him anyway with a skull-crushing finale, but after a distraction.
So we say 7-time, and I'm going to preface this by saying I love The Miz, and I think that he lends a lot to the Intercontinental title. We say 7 times. How many of those 7 have happened in the last 3 years?
Mm. Well.
I just had to get that out there.
I'm pretty sure 4 or 5 of them happened in the last 3 years.
Yeah. I would much rather he have a longer title reign than be like, I'm the 7-time, blah, blah, blah. Nigga, you lost it every other week. You can't brag. You can't brag about how you keep losing your title.
You kind of keep winning it from the same guy, too.
From the same guy.
Like, how many of those came from Dean, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, though, is he the best IC champ of his generation?
Yes. For sure.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he elevates the title. He makes the title feel important. For sure.
Absolutely.
Now, I need him to stop fighting Dean. I need it. I need it. I need it. Like, it hurts.
Like it's air.
I need it to breathe. Like, I just broke up with my boyfriend and I loved him. I need Dean and fucking The Miz to stop fighting. I need it. Because one of those things I still have to deal with every day.
And that's
Dean and The Miz.
Holy shit. Should I just throw it to the end at this point? They obviously have one more match left.
I don't even know what that noise was. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about Elias Samson, who came out beforehand, okay?
Yes, let's talk about it.
Because there's something else I want to throw in here that we don't have planned, but I think we need to talk about. He comes out. He's getting a lot of heat. He looks good in the ring. Is he a star in the making, or is he going to be another? I keep using Bo Dallas as a guy who was really good in NXT, came up with a solid gimmick, and then they just pissed away anything they could have done with him.
But I don't think Elias was really good in NXT.
He actually was not.
He was over by the time he left.
Okay.
When it was time
I think I missed those last.
He was over and then he came. So he lost and it was loser leaves NXT and then he came back in a disguise.
Oh, that's great.
He still played the guitar.
No, that was really fun.
And the crowd was way really into it.
Because the crowd loves an NXT when you do stupid shit like that.
Right.
I love stupid shit like that, because the crowd is me.
Like, right. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Like, yes, come out in a costume but still be playing a guitar and act like I don't know who you are. Yes.
Please do that. Elias Manson.
Yeah. That's exactly it. They're like a Southpaw crowd.
Yeah.
But that seems to be Dean Ambrose's next feud.
Mm-hmm.
How do you
that's
book
a, that's
that,
a lot
though?
Of denim,
do
man.
Do you put him over?
A ton of jeans.
Is there a warehouse? Is there someone? Is Sasha's Bay just in the back sewing spandex into different pairs of Old Navy's jeans for men? Like, what is happening?
They have a whole factory. Why do you think they're expanding into China?
Oh, man, you got to get those two and Luke Harper together. You know?
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
A whole little denim team. A little shirts versus skins, touch football team or something.
And then when they're done, they can cut them into shorts, hem them, and give them to John Cena.
There we go.
See?
All right, let's talk about Sheamus and Cesaro, who became tag team champions after beating the Hardys with a Z in a steel cage. What did you think of the match?
The rules were stupid.
The rules were stupid.
Yes, the rules were dumb.
Because since both guys had to be out, I guess there were a number of times in the match where it would have made more sense for Matt to let one of his opponents get out so that he could go out right behind him and they just would have won the match.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I didn't think about that while
I was
watching
it. There's no lock on the door.
Well, yeah,
it's
that's
sort
true.
Of swinging.
And like Jeff kept like leaving and coming back in. Right?
Yeah, he erased his leaving by coming back in.
Yeah, the whisper in the wind, which I feel like he's done. It's not like it's any less impressive when he does it, but I also feel like as a fan, and it makes me feel like a real asshole to say it, but I've seen that before, I'm pretty sure. I've seen the leg drop. He was either going to do that or Hardy was going to do the leg drop. And Hardy's done the leg drop, and he doesn't need to be doing that anymore.
Well, you know what?
His spine will shoot out of the top of his head.
You know what? Let's get Itchweed in and see what Itchweed can
do. Itchweed, yeah.
I'm fucking Itchweed. I was like, wow.
There was one interesting thing about the end of this match, right? And because all I'm looking at with these matches is trying to, like, plot forward how they can get to brokenness, right?
Right. Sure.
And,
yes.
You know, one of Matt's big things, especially when he first turned into Broken Matt and he was going against Jeff and Brother mm-hmm. Nero and all that, was about how Brother Nero was a spot monkey
spot
and how it was
monkey.
A downfall.
Yeah.
And at the end of that match, Jeff did a big spot off the top, and that's why they lost, you know,
yeah,
while Matt's trying to drag
there.
Him out. So I was thinking, like,
right?
Yeah, like, that is a, if they're telling that story, that is a great piece of business as part of that story, you know, about how that finish went.
Now, see, I was just hoping that someone would tempt him with green beans, and that would be...
Green beans?
Green beans. That's a big, Broken Matt Hardy loves green beans.
Oh, I had
really?
No
he
idea.
He thinks that they are a delicacy.
Did he say that on the Jericho podcast when he went on?
No, he
Didn't
said
he
that during TNA. Like, he was doing, when they would do the vignettes, like the big things at the house, at the Hardy house, he would be like, give me more green beans.
Oh, God.
They are a delicacy. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Oh, so weird.
King Maxa loves green beans.
Let's talk about the ladies.
Hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies.
Get funky.
All right. Do you feel like this is sort of a rudderless ship right now? Alexa Bliss is still, even in a shitty segment, she's still good
yes.
last week. So she's almost bulletproof, but does it feel like there's no direction right now?
I mean,
like, where are they headed?
It feels like the story is... Nia's ready for her match, and Alexa keeps ducking her until she pushes Nia into going fucking full beast mode, right? That
right.
feels logically like what should be happening now. I don't know if that is going to happen, but that is the story I am for sure ready to see.
I am still wanting the Alexis Nia Shawn Michaels Diesel pairing. That's what I thought
yeah.
was going to – I thought they were going to swing into that last night when – Mickie James and Dana Brooke came out. I thought that there was going to be some reason that Nia ended up attacking them. But I know she ended up attacking them anyway, but
yeah.
I thought it was going to be in service of Alexa somehow. But that's what I'm...
I agree. I think that
yeah.
that would be a great pairing as well. And then eventually, again, you
yeah,
get to have that great
right.
story
exactly.
where Nia's like, yo, like, I can't just keep carrying your bags at a certain point. You got to give me... And it's like, no, it's not your turn. I'll tell you when it's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can still have that moment. Bayley is...
Ooh, what happened?
They got to stop assuming when they bring people up from NXT that everyone watches NXT. A lot of us do. A lot of us love it. But you have to go back to the basics of what make that character work.
Right.
And I guess there's an ongoing issue about or question of whether or not Vince watches NXT.
Right.
And that being the case, if he understands how those characters work by the time they get brought up. And if he doesn't understand or doesn't get it, and as we've seen that a lot, where, like, you know, he puts them in weird positions,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he doesn't get the backstory. He only kind of
right.
sees what he sees, and he's like, well, this person should go here, and
yeah.
then you get no character development. A lot of times they fall flat.
Yeah,
you know?
So for me, I'm booking it. This is how I'm booking it.
Give
real
her the
quick.
Book. Give her the book.
Real quick.
Take that book.
Sasha gets frustrated because she isn't in the title picture. She becomes that kind of whispering thing in Bayley's ear that's like, no, like, if we're going to do this, we need to become more extreme. We need to be able to do that. You need to be able to hit the kendos and do all this stuff. And she starts pushing Bayley and pushing Bayley. And finally, Bayley is like, I tried it. I sucked at it. That isn't me. And then Sasha feels betrayed. And then now you have Bayley back to being... fucking Bayley, and you get a Sasha heel turn. And it gets both of them on TV.
I am not interested in the two of them feuding anymore. I know Sasha's going to come in and out of the main event.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't necessarily want them to feud, but I want it to be in service of both of them.
But we all did.
Yeah.
That was what they were building towards.
They
dropped it. And they can come back to it and heat it back up, but they kind of, I think they missed the boat on the peak moment to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped building towards it.
On what should have been the feud of the summer. Get her off the purple show.
Well,
yeah.
You let's go from red to purple to blue.
Mm.
You mentioned how great the SmackDown women's division is right now in terms of how they're building it.
Yes.
And I agree with you. The Money in the Bank seems great. They're devoting packages to it. Mic time, match time.
Oh, how beautiful was that fucking briefcase.
But we also had the debut of Lana with her terrible weave, and I'll let you talk about that in a second.
I will be quick.
But I will say... All right, go ahead and get it out of the way now.
No, it's just... Okay. Here's the thing.
Oh,
Lana is...
I love it.
Lana is fucking obviously like 10-10 gorgeous, 10-10 great on the mic, like amazing. Lana does this for a living. She can afford to not buy fucking Barbie hair. I took so many pictures after I tweeted last night that her weave was bad, just so that if someone came for me because I made fun of their fave, that I would have proof, and I didn't fucking need it. Because the top of her hair is yellow, and then the bottom of it is like white, like frozen,
yeah.
And it's fluffy, and it's fake. It looks like the stuff that you use to make like cobwebs at Halloween. It does. Like it's, and it's like, baby girl, you know that weave is a business expense for you, right? You can write, I write my wigs off on my taxes. Like, you know you can write that off. And if you watch Totes Deaves, her dad's got a bad weave too. So it's just a bad wig having family. And that's why this matters. If she's coming back and she's this glamour girl, which is what she's doing, your hair has to be on point.
That's real.
Because that's the character. Because
that shit looks like cotton candy right now.
It looks bad.
Yeah, it looks like she just woke up.
Yeah,
but she woke up with two different heads of hair. She just slapped hair on top of hair.
She did the opposite of snatching herself bald.
Yeah.
She snatched herself haired.
That's what happened.
That being said, I like the introduction of her character, that she came in and demanded a title picture.
Yes.
She has a clear objective for why she's there. She wants the title. She thinks she deserves it. She whines when she doesn't get it because she's a heel. And then... she starts interfering with the champion to goad her into a match so she doesn't have to be in Money in the Bank. Do you have at least mediocre hopes for Lana to be successful as a wrestler?
I do, and I kind of, well, for one thing, she's a dancer, so it's not like, I'm not saying it's a one-one thing, but like if you look at Naomi, who is a dancer, and look at how great she's come if she's put the work in, it seems like, you know, CJ, the woman, has been wanting this for a while. It seems like she's been putting work in. I know she's been doing NXT matches. No. I know a lot of people have been like, well, why would they give her a blah, blah, blah championship match? I like the idea that Naomi is so cocky that she's like, oh, you
like
want a
too.
Shot?
Yeah.
You want a fucking shot? Oh, I'm going to fucking embarrass you.
Yeah.
And Lana's a heel, so there's a lot of different ways that she can pull out and, like, do this and get this done. I'm really thinking and hoping that they're bringing her out now because they know that how good she's going to be is going to surprise us. But I'm also a hopeful person.
I agree.
My only hope is that they give her something decent to wrestle in. That is my chief concern at the moment, because
something to wrestle
in
with, like, Lana.
Yes. Precisely. You know. Well, you know.
I bet you it's a singlet or whatever, like the bathing suit type style, but with those
looks like a
spangles
bathing
on it.
Suit, but yeah. Like a little fancier version.
Yeah. Like a fancy bathing suit.
I want it to have straps because I don't want to be worrying the whole time that a titty's going to pop out.
No. All right, let's talk about some smaller news items. The Fashion Files bounced back after what I thought was a subpar outing in their first noir, but they've gone back to the black and white, and they were hilarious. Let's listen.
Slow night in Rochester.
So I took the bottle of cologne to the boys in the lab, and come to find out there's no boys and there's no lab. So I tasted the bottle for Prince and left a really bad taste in my mouth, so.
Of course.
I'm starting to think it's not the cologne's cologne.
Hold on. It's not cologne? It just smelled like cologne.
Not cologne, cologne. The cologne's cologne.
Cologne?
Cologne.
Cologne.
No, with a C. Cologne.
Cologne.
Cologne?
Cologne. Ah, I get it. I don't get it.
Me either, which means we must be close.
Close?
Oh, God. Such
fantastic.
A great segment. They felt elevated working with the New Day. The New Day did not bury them as fools, and neither did they bury the Usos as fools, who were also fantastic on the mic. Let's listen to some of that day one, is H.
Can I get him? Get him. Can I get him? Get him! Xavier Woods, I want you to look up, up. Now look down, down. And ask yourself, what are those?
So good.
Hey, but check it.
Welcome back to the Comedy Central roast of the New Day. We got Jeffrey Ross coming up, Betty White.
And Rob Lowe.
And Rob Lowe for some reason. Let's hope the writers were good. Let's talk. What do you think of Jinder Mahal's new entrance?
I like the moving floor thing. I thought that was great.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I was really into that.
Like that in the end when they come out and they push in on him.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, you know, his turban is slowly morphing into a terrorist looking thing, and I don't like that. But you know, we're getting close to that line.
Yeah, they gotta pull that back.
I would love if they pulled that back a little bit.
I am uninterested in that angle.
Man.
I want him to be dope and Indian and dope.
And proud, you know?
And proud.
And then if he cheats to win, then he's a heel, but not because of, you know, any I really hope that they stay away from any sort of subtext.
Oh, if it starts getting to that point, I'm gonna be real pissed.
Yeah.
Let's talk about AJ Styles getting the return receipt on Dolph Ziggler and beating him, which is essentially 50-50 booking that we know is designed to make both guys look strong going into Money in the Bank. But does it just put Dolph Ziggler back where he was?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Would it have hurt
does.
Styles to take a loss to Dolph Ziggler twice in a row?
Don't
though?
Do that. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
That would make me feel crazy.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to have him lose twice to fucking Dolph. No.
So there's nothing else you can do there, really.
Except don't put them in a match.
Don't put it's not even a good match. I wanted it to be a good match, and the match wasn't even good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about another match that happened. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kevin Owens. Did you think that was good?
I need to watch it again. Like, I was watching it, but I was, like, half asleep.
I wasn't really paying attention either.
Yeah. That means you didn't like it.
I don't know if that's what that means.
No, it means you
Sometimes
didn't like
I gotta
it.
Watch stuff again.
Just... It wasn't bad. It wasn't... I have such high expectations for a match like that, and it did not meet them.
I see.
Is it crazy to think, or is my memory off, that Shinsuke wrestled like 5 times when he was in NXT? Like, it felt like he was very rarely, he was always on TV, but very rarely wrestling, so it was a big deal when he was in a match. Now he's wrestling every, you know.
After they didn't have him wrestle for a while to build up, and now, he's out there.
They're booking him strong. He doesn't look terrible.
Right.
Kevin Owens didn't look terrible. They obviously are capable of having a really good match, but there's something to, like, well, this isn't the pay-per-view match, but they're all in this Money in the Bank, so he's got to be in a match. They've got to show that he's a good wrestler for some reason. We have to get him over with the crowd that doesn't know him.
It was fine.
Yeah. Last item, what the fuck is on that phone?
Oh, I don't know.
What could it be? That it could ruin him?
It's a dick pic.
Oh,
Vince McMahon.
I think we're going to find out he was the one that Tom Phillips was texting.
There we go. I love it.
Yeah, I don't.
Look at that Dizzy Gillespie face.
I can't think of a single thing it could be that I would give a single shit about.
Yeah.
Like, what could it be? Who cares?
It seems weird.
It should be that Kenny Omega's coming. Other than that, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, or it should be that Angle has something to do with what's happening with Enzo and Cass. Because since that's the only other mystery, then you connect it.
But
it's
dumb. Come on.
It's dumb, but at least it makes sense. Because what could it be that you would actually care about? Unless it's him just being like, poo poo pee pee, I'm Kurt Angle, and I hate WWE.
Yeah.
Like, what could it possibly be?
Vince sucks.
It's a highlight reel of all his work in TNA.
Yeah. And he's like, no, that's just online. You didn't. Vince saw it.
Oh, no.
Every week, there's tons of wrestling to talk about, so let's keep the conversation going. Connect with us at facebook.com/group/tightsfights, or hit us up on Twitter. We're at tightsfights there. Up next, wrestling is a business of heels and faces, but is one side of that coin not getting the attention it deserves? We'll dissect that up next on Tights and Fights.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every week, we release a medical history podcast called Sawbones.
We go over the history of the dumbest, grossest, weirdest stuff humans have been doing to each other since the dawn of mankind.
But it's a funny show.
But it's also so disgusting and stomach-turning, you won't believe it.
But it's also like... funny. It's funny.
It is the wildest, grossest, nastiest stuff you can imagine.
It's a real hoot. It's called Sawbones, and we release it every week on iTunes, wherever podcasts are sold, and right here on MaximumFun.org.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined in the booth by...
Danielle Radford.
And...
Michael Eagle.
Every so often, there's something from wrestling that we decide to give extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock!
What happened when there were babyface champions? Out of the 13 current champions the WWE has across its shows, only one of them is portrayed as a hero or babyface. That would be Naomi on SmackDown Live. We have a problem. Mike's been talking about heel face dynamics since we started this podcast. There are two problems. One is that heels get cheered too much. There are too many cool heels and people who are unwilling to be just sort of booed out of the building. The other problem is that WWE doesn't seem to have a knack for building babyfaces. Who's the last babyface they've been able to effectively build?
Fuck, was Cena when he was, you know, when he got over?
He got over as a heel.
Well, I mean, but when he was over as a heel, he was still over when they turned him babyface.
I guess, is that the only way to build a credible babyface? Is to have a heel turn face?
I think that's the only way it's ever worked, I think.
Hogan came in as a face.
No, he was back, a heel.
But I don't think anybody remembered him in 83 or 84 when they brought him back.
Maybe not, but... He was a heel, like that was how he started.
That's true.
You know, like, and I don't, I have never been witness that I can remember to somebody coming in and getting over just being a babyface. I don't know if I've ever seen it in my life.
Yeah, kind of. I think Bayley.
Right.
And then now it's all confused because what happens is that like a lot of times the babyfaces get corny, and it's not their bad. I think a lot of it is the writing.
I think most of it is.
Yeah, like they wind up becoming like these corny fucking whatever. And part of the reason why having someone come in as a heel first is that like when they're a baby face, you could remember them being cool and not fucking lame. Not some lame good guy.
So I can think of only two career baby faces. So Bailey is young.
They could
try her as a heel at some point.
Woof.
So you've got Bailey.
It's a strong wolf. Wolf from Danielle.
Any of the three of you know of the other wrestler I'm thinking of who's a career...
Ricky Steamboat.
Exactly. Yeah, Ricky the Dragon
Classic.
Steamboat. Never a heel.
Yep.
Rey Mysterio.
Was he a heel?
When he was in Filthy Animals at the end of WCW, I feel like there might have... You know what? That's a good question. That's going to take some research. But yeah, he might be the other... He might be the other babyface.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's ever...
So it's probably easier to stay over as a heel than stay over as a babyface, right? Because babyface, it's easier to get stale. Whereas a heel, you can always come in and insult a hometown and steal heat off of a babyface, right? But we're also in a weird era of WWE right now. They've always been a babyface territory. That's New York was the babyface territory. They had Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, the majority of their world title holders.
Ultimate Warrior.
Michaels didn't win until he was a face.
Mm-hmm.
Bret the Hitman Hart. Like, Yokozuna was one of the first heel champions of the quote-unquote modern era since Hogan to get a decent long run with the title as a heel. And then Triple H obviously kind of helped break that mold. And The Rock. Is it odd to be in a place now where heels are champions everywhere except for the SmackDown women's division?
Yeah, it is weird, but it speaks to the problem that you started this with, that they're having a very hard time building a babyface that's actually able to stay over. And I really think that's because of what Danielle gets at and how they have a hard time positioning a babyface in any way that's not corny. And I think this is kind of in the Cena era where, like, Cena as a heel when he was doing the Doctor of Thugonomics thing, it was, you know, it was dumb and corny, but it was edgy, and he used to come out and say wild ass shit about people. And even when he was a babyface, he was still doing that for a while, and they slowly washed his edge away. I feel like that kind of left us with the current template for what a babyface is in
WWE. Where you're like this cartoon.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas like the part of what made Bayley work as a babyface was that like she's enthusiastic and she's sincere, but she never felt like a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And for the babyfaces now, and part of it is because they're going so hard after this like these younger fans, like John Cena's a fucking cartoon.
Right.
He doesn't feel like a fully formed person. What I want from my faces is I want someone who sincerely loves wrestling, sincerely loves being a wrestler, who wants to do it the right way because it's the right thing to do, but because like I want to know for myself that I can win without it.
Right.
That's what I want.
And that's that to you is the formula for a successful baby face now.
I think so. And who knows, maybe we were kind of ruined by that like era of when it was cool to be like this tweener and no one was really a face, and you had definite heels, but even the faces, you know, were doing stuff that was like not cool.
And New Day still does. They cheat all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. But like,
but
yeah.
They're baby faces.
But they're baby faces.
And it's clear, like, you know, why are they baby faces?
Because they go against heels.
Because they go against people who are slightly worse than them.
And that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's literally just like bad dudes going up against badder dudes.
So we just said baby faces a lot of times now are defined by the fact that they're wrestling heels. Do you think heels are defined by the fact that they're wrestling baby faces?
Well, I think the main thing about a heel is cheating to win. And New Day in that sense is the exception to the rule. They're the only ones I can think of that do that a lot. Like, a lot of times, situationally, you'll get a baby face that's pushed to cheat or, you know, or takes advantage or cuts a corner. But typically, that is what makes a heel. Like, in original wrestling psychology, right? Before it was so cartoony and there were just good guys and bad guys, but it looked like a real athletic competition, the good guy was the guy who believed enough in his abilities to stay within the rules and try to win. And the bad guy thought so badly about his own abilities that he had to cut corners and try to cheat.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the heel dynamic, is cheating. That's really the only unifying factor.
And cowardice.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And
right,
even
right.
when you have something like an Eddie Guerrero face run where he is a cheater, it works because he flat out tells you, yeah, I'm a cheater.
Right.
That turns him into a face because, like, yeah, he's a liar and a cheater and a stealer, but he's honest about it. You know who he is.
But the thing about Eddie Guerrero, too, is once you turn that energy towards bad guys, and then you got a Robin Hood situation, which is just automatically babyface. And, you know, really, when I think the last babyface who was getting over in the way that we're expecting one to get over is Daniel Bryan. Like, he wasn't a superhero. He was a guy who was, like, really good, and then he started losing his shit. And when he started losing his shit is when he really got over. And that goes all the way back to Hogan. Like, Hogan's comebacks in matches was basically him losing his mind and no longer feeling pain. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the aspect that they never gave Cena that edge where he could lose his shit. You know what I mean? And if he did, then he might be more of a compelling character. The same with, like, Reigns. Like, I feel like that's what's missing in the current babyface presentation, is, like, this slide into mania, and then they can get back to being our hero after they lose their shit for a little bit.
They literally call their biggest pay-per-view WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Get back into, get a little manic, guys.
I think we're maybe looking at the past a little more favorably. They've always had superhero. I mean, obviously Hogan's a superhero. Warrior was a superhero. Rock was a superhero. Austin was a superhero. Hart was a superhero.
No. The Rock and Austin weren't superheroes.
Sure they. Austin didn't lose that often.
But Austin used to get his shit kicked in all the time.
He was constantly bleeding.
I don't think Hogan is the superhero that we're looking at now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think Hogan is a superhero who had a switch he could flip and go to fuck crazy. Like, that was the beginning of his gimmick. He was the Incredible Hulk Hogan. Like, that's what it was. He hulked out. Hulked up, you know? And I think, like, that's what's missing, like, that second gear. Like, it's like, you can be a superhero, but you have to, at some point, face adversity. And when that happens, then you lose your shit and get some other kind of power. And then I think that presents a different dimension in what we're getting right
now. Yeah, because the Supermanning is that, like, things can happen to them and you don't see those injuries reflected through the match.
Right.
They always feel like, yeah, that happened, but I'm me, so I'm going to recover quickly. And then bam, 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 here's my moves. Bam, bam, now you're dead.
Right.
Here's a babyface act that's getting over. Breezango, the Fashion Police. Mm-hmm. And they got over with comedy. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe the key in the modern era, is making people laugh and sort of disarming them?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I like that kind of where we're faces and we're funny, but we're also not insulting your intelligence. And the great thing about Breezango is that, like, the kids might not necessarily get all of the jokes that they're making, but they get a guy who shows up like a janitor and then rolls around all slow. Like, they get that.
I mean, I think that's great. But I feel like the way to get a baby face over now is more what they're doing with Finn, where he's cool as fuck, super athletic, and if you kick his ass enough, he's going to turn into a fucking demon.
A fucking demon!
You know what I mean? Right. I feel like that's the presentation, or at least those are the kind of dimensions that the current baby faces need to be offering.
All right.
And also he's real hot and he sticks his dick out.
His dick is all the way out.
just all the time. Just as soon as he meets you, it's like, hey, I'm Finn.
Hashtag hey. Finn's hey. Peen. Does the WWE have a baby face problem? I'm asking you, listener. Let us know what you think at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, it's time to tell you three things from wrestling that you deserve to know about. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
And we're the hosts of Rose Buddies. It's a podcast about the Bachelor family of products.
We watch The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes, it is garbage television, but we're the king and queen of this garbage pile. We're the raccoons in charge around here.
So join us on Tuesdays.
Because the TV show's on Mondays. And basically, we'll recap what we saw, and we'll just sort of scoop the garbage around us and make a little fort out of it.
No viewing required.
But it's a good TV show. What are you doing?
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Mike Eagle.
Every week we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you.
Joy and pain.
Sunshine. What else? What else?
And rain.
Kick it to me. Raw bass. Sorry.
This is the three count.
Oh, y'all need to see Hal's face, man.
That's so great. Ah, yes.
I'm doing my faces, guys. Danielle, what do you want to put over?
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to put over very, very
you
briefly.
You always have multiple things to put over.
Because wrestling is great and I love it,
okay,
Hal.
Okay, fine. Now I feel like I love it less because I only one thing.
Yeah, I'm always scraping every Wednesday. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to put over?
What am I going to do?
And Danielle's and I'm always like, well, here is the list.
You're like, here's an article I read and a picture I saw.
Here's a bunch of great wrestling things.
Just a general feeling I had.
You're ever walking down the street and you're like, man, like it's a really good day.
I want to put over the sun.
All right, well, first, you cup of haters. So first I'm going to put over a great moment on Raw. When Alexa Bliss asked a favor of Kurt Angle, and he was like, nah, girl.
Alexa Bliss, this is my life.
Terrible idea.
What?
This Is Your Life from last week was one of the worst segments in the history of Raw.
I like when they acknowledge that, like, yes, no, that was all the dicks. It ate the several dicks. It was just drizzling shits. And so the second thing I'm going to put over, because I like to, I always have one that doesn't have sound. So I was like, let me do
one
with
sound.
Oh, this one has sound. I am putting over motherfucking Tekken Wrestling where you can play as New Japan dudes.
Yo, this shit makes me so extremely happy. Like, I'm a big Tekken fan. And
yes.
Well, I like wrestling some, as we can tell. This is like my address.
Yeah, this is literally like the only thing that could make it better is if there are also Mortal Kombat dudes in it. That's like the only thing that could possibly make this better. So here's a quick thing from that.
Blood to blood.
Oh my God.
From father to son. And beyond.
Yo,
the best fights are personal.
Yeah, personal this dick.
Yeah,
that's
great.
What?
I know one thing. They should have hired. They should have hired Hal for that voiceover, man.
I'm gonna do Tekken.
Hands, blood.
The main boss was an old guy in Tekken Tag Team. I sound like Shawn Michaels. Jesus told me to fix this woman's car in this movie. You know.
That's my Shawn Michaels.
You know. Mike, you know, what do you, what do you want to, when you want to put over, you know.
God, that would make me so incredibly nervous to have a conversation with him in real life, if that's what it felt like. I'm putting over Jim Cornette again. He has two podcasts. I only listen to one of them though. Corny's Drive-Thru is one of his podcasts on the MLW Radio Network, and that's the one where people write in questions, and he doesn't pre-screen them, and his co-host just reads them to him.
Oh,
and
he just goes,
fuck
them.
You.
Yeah.
What the fuck? But they asked him a question about the Dynamic Dudes. Dynamic Dudes was a tag team early 90s with Shane Douglas and John Laurinaitis.
Johnny Ace.
Yeah. Where they were they were like skateboard dudes
yes.
slash surfer dudes and like neon and shit. And it
Cowabunga.
Was Bunga. It was the shits shit. Indeed. It connects to our conversation earlier because this is a famous instance of a team that was set up to be these huge baby faces that all the kids love not getting over at all.
The Midnight Express was wrestling at Dynamic Dudes. Of course, it was in Philly, so the people are cheering the Midnight Express anyway. But then they start chanting, Johnny sucks dick. Johnny sucks dick. And me and Bobby and Stan are dying laughing, and we're trying to cover it up. And I said, why did they get that started? All of a sudden, I look up, and in the top balcony of the Philly Civic Center, somebody's written on a giant bed sheet, like 12 feet square, Johnny sucks Shane's dick. And they hung it. So there's 6,000 people chanting, Johnny sucks dick. Johnny sucks dick. Finally, we're in the locker room upstairs to Civic Center because they were upstairs. And he's sitting there. He's taking his boots off, and he kind of gets up, and he's got his towel, and he's got his head down, and he's wandering off. And Stan said, where are you going, Johnny? He said, well, I guess I'm just going to suck Shane's dick as he walked in the shower. You know?
Gotta love that podcast.
That's amazing.
And this is the fucking 90s, man. These are legit fans, man. They just completely rejected this babyface team.
Yeah.
Like, nope, no thanks.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted the Dynamic Dudes.
See,
nobody
and then later
them.
He wound up fucking a Bella. So, well, Bella mom. She still counts.
Yeah, Ma Bella.
Ma Bella.
Ma Bella. Now she's my ice. Right, Vince?
Our good buddies, Bruce Pritchard. We're talking about Hogan's run in the WWE, specifically the year 1988. And the best thing about this podcast, and maybe the frustrating thing, is that it still feels like Bruce toes the company line a lot. So it's always frustrating sometimes. But I also enjoy when he fucks with Cameron, which he does in this clip, talking about Butch Reed.
Well, because Butch Reed's over in Florida.
Well, that too.
Yeah,
natural.
I'll just do this by myself for the rest of the show, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
I mean, good Lord. Florida Championship Wrestling, Butch Reed from Florida. He was drawing houses down there and doing great, having great matches.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was a long-ass time ago.
We're talking about a show that happened 29 years ago.
I understand that, but Butch had left Florida like long before that and gone through Mid-South and then been in...
Okay, then answer this, Smarty. Why is Butch Reed working against Hulk Hogan in Florida?
Because they wanted to see how Butch would do if people were buying him.
Why didn't they do it in Detroit?
Well, because Butch was over in Florida.
It's a great episode. Check out that podcast.
God, they hate each other so much.
Oh, man. Conrad is so pissed.
It's a real moonlighting. They probably will fuck at some point.
They have to. Somewhere after 20 minutes of ads.
Yeah. At the whatever is, what do they call his house?
The Conradison.
Yeah, the Conradison. Conrad. Why do you call him Cameron?
And
I probably said Cameron before. I meant Conrad. Whatever. The episode's over. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. Our hosts are Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Our producer is the amateur fidget spinner, Julian Morrell. You're way better than amateur. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle's the voice behind our theme music as well, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. The best online community in the world. Definitely in the top two or three as far as I'm concerned.
The other one that we got, this Facebook group?
Yes.
Cool.
Leave that in. If you love the show, remember to hit those fives on iTunes and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to all the Max Fun members who support our show and make it possible. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.